Feel Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends. Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant, and you're listening to Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
1212, how's it going? This is Shlomo. You're listening to Sheffield Live.
Yeah. Welcome to Sheffield Live. You know, Friday, the 25th of October on 93.2, also available on DAB Radio. You know, we've just got the two of we are just going to hold the fort this evening. So, CV, hope you're listening there and hold tight and, you know, hope that you're ready for the ride. Got a bit of, well, sad news again. We'd just like to start the show with our condolences. Jeff Capes, 75, passed away, sadly, on Wednesday the 23rd. Capes set the record for shot put by a British man of 2168 metres in 1980. World's strongest man, 1983, I should say, in New Zealand. And he was at it again in 1985 in Portugal. Six-time champion of the World Highland Games. Three-time Olympian. Capes also was in the police force on the beat in Cambridgeshire. I don't know how many arrests that guy made, but I don't think anybody would have dared tussle with Mr. Capes.
Definitely not, definitely.
Also in the popular TV show, Superstars. I don't know if you can remember that, G. Superstars.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, I was a regular. Always used to kind of like tune into that one. Yeah, love that kind of show. Capes also held world records for breeding budges.
I didn't know that.
I don't know how many budgies that man breed, but, you know, to get in the Guinness Book of Records, it must
have
been
a whole heap. That's plenty of budgies, isn't it?
You know, plenty of them.
I mean, what a record to hold. Out of everything he's achieved, that he holds the highest budgie record as well.
Yeah, yeah. I can remember as a youth, you know, I think we used to have a budgie one time. And, you know, something you just like try to make it tart, but not tart. You know what I mean? And you just give it the trill, you know? The living budgie seed trill, you know? Oh. That must be still going right now. Usyk and Tyson Fury 2. Christmas cracker, an early Christmas present. 21st of December, Saudi Arabia. Tyson steps into the ring with Fury again. Do you know what? I was kind of listening to Tyson, and you know, he admitted it. He said that he was just in it for the cash, really. He said it's just all about the money for me. It's another payday. There's no real kind of changes. Just, you know, he's going to be a little bit more focused. This is what he's saying. Victorious. He managed to get that word in there. Also, hear that Tyson says, it's just another fight. And like I said, you know, he's saying that he does it for the money. And I kind of believe him, actually.
And let's be right. I think
that's kind of believe him. You know what I mean?
I mean, let's be right. That's what all of them are in it for. I know some of them don't want to get the belt. It's just bigger payday, ain't it? But 100%. At the end of the day, you're stepping in that ring to make a money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know who's going to win. I don't know who's going to win this one, though. But
yeah, yeah.
Then did hang on the last time when he was boxing, and it look how the man hang on pan rope and spin run rope and everything. Refused to go down at the rating for that, but
yeah, yeah,
it should be a good one this time. This time somebody's got to decide it, finish it, really.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to me, he just took. I know I thought he was being quite honest with himself, but for me, he just took that little fizz out. It's just another payday for me. You know, pay me the right money and I'll be there.
Talking it.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he says that he's the only fighter what kind of like will talk the truth. You know what I mean? But, you know, I think there's a few more out there, but we'll talk it. And I just think that it just, yeah, when it takes the edge off a fight, I kind of lose a little bit of interest, to be honest with you. But nearer the coming month of December, I suppose, yeah, you know, I'm going to be tuning in. I'm going to be an armchair fan watching that fight. Big punch up. To me, maybe it's going to be the same result. Maybe Tyson wins this time and then it's out of three. Do you know what I mean? Like the
yeah,
Eubanks and Ben. It's like the trilogy
decider.
One.
Yeah.
If Tyson wins for me, then the trilogy's on, isn't it?
It's got to be.
And I'm thinking,
because
you know
you've won all now. You've got to have a decider. Yeah, yeah. You've got to have a decider.
Yeah. Is that written in the history books already? You know what I mean? Have we just kind of like popped the popcorn out of the bag?
Well,
you know?
Honestly, I think Sir Tyson, the last time, he was playing. I think he could have done a lot more. I mean, Usyk never stopped. He was on him all the time to wear him down. And I do think Usyk could actually beat him, but I just don't think Tyson did put in 100% the last time.
It was didn't he say something about that? That you know,
that was just foolish talk. I mean, Usyk was on him, but I just think Tyson could have done more. But I think he thought he was going to win it anyway. And most probably I didn't. As I win this, I wait till the last few rounds and then take him out. But it didn't go that way. But this time, if he steps into the ring this time again, he might have to come with something.
100%.
He's got to come with something better than he did the last time.
Yeah, I'm hearing you, man. Yeah, definitely. I mean, Usyk, you know, undisputed in two weight divisions, heavyweight, and former cruiserweight champion.
Yeah, that's debatable, isn't it? Really, in my eyes, it's because, as far as I'm concerned, a man did beat him, and a black man too did beat him.
Mm.
And I'm talking Dubois here now. See, when they did fight.
Is he talking about that?
Yes.
You know, the kind of judges.
Yes. And how long he got to wrestle
again.
Well over due time to what they said. So he should have been, that should have been a knockout.
Yeah, and there's been a few of them in the past, isn't it? Where the referees took his time to count and stuff like that. Yeah, he had more than
enough time to recover. Too
much. Corruption rule. Yeah. I mean, he currently holds the WBO, WBA, WBC. Undisputed anymore after the vacant IBF belt. Oh, the boys smashed AJ last month at Wembley in
smashed
round
him.
Five.
Flipping out. Turned the man fool. Into slapping on the ring, turning fool. AJ didn't know what was going on. I was surprised though. I was really surprised that Dubois managed him so easy.
Yeah.
And it was easy.
And you know what? I like how the guy chats me, Dubois, because it'd be like, they'd be saying, oh, you know, they're looking at the rematch with him and AJ and stuff, and he says, you know, what do you think will happen? And this is what Dubois says. Yeah, I'll smash him. yeah.
Simple as that.
Just do it again. Yeah, just smash him up. do you know what I mean? And it, you know, you want to hear him on YouTube. It just makes me laugh the way how
it's kind of cold, yeah, isn't it, when he's talking. It's cold.
Talks down the fight. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'll just do it better this time.
No, if he could do it better than what he did, because it was very convincing the first time.
He's got that smile on his face when he's chatting about it, because they picked him up. Somebody interviewed him when he came back from Brazil just a couple of days ago. And, you know, the interviewee was saying that, you know, how was your time in Brazil? Yeah, it's great. Yeah, love it.
That's him.
Do you know what I mean?
Just straight to the point.
And his
done.
Little brother's at the side of him as well. Yeah, what did we do? You know what I mean?
There you go.
It was just a natural kind of like... chattings, really.
He don't
you know
come to
mean?
Play, does he? Just says what no, needs to no, be said. No. Just says enough. He's not into the crap, the hyping talking and put
Definitely.
Down people. We're just going to go in the ring and see what I'm
and
that's
And he
it.
Doesn't really start a... Yeah, you're right. He doesn't call him out and say, oh, he's this not in is the that is the other. He said, yeah, just smash him up. Yeah, just broke him up.
Yeah, I wonder what AJ thought when he heard that. AJ stood on there, is it? You think you're doing me so again? Watch.
Well, you know, I mean, they looked at his ring walk when... They analysed his ring walk, AJ's, when he came out to fight AJ, and they were saying that he just wasn't real himself. And, you know, it's like apparently he's been asking, well, he asked different kind of like coaches and that, how would you fight him and what would you do? And
that's been
picked up, do you know what I mean, on the scene. Yeah, it's...
Man's an experienced fighter. He's been in the game a long time. He shouldn't be asking anything should he?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It was kind of like sad to hear that come out. You know,
do you think he's lost a bit of confidence in himself?
Yeah, I believe so. And he has to talk the talk and walk the walk.
He does a lot of talking. Yeah,
do you know
he does
mean?
That. He's good at that.
When they get a mic in front of him and the cameras are there, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I'm going to do this better than last time. I can do this. Yeah, it's like I can brush up on what I didn't do good. Do you know what I mean? And I'm coming back for a vengeance type of stuff, you know? So, yeah, he's got... I mean, you know, people said that he should just, you know, he's made his card. He should just retire and just do something else. But you know what? You know, you wouldn't want to go out on a shift like that.
Listen,
you know,
when he got the title back from Luiz, when Luiz beat him, mashed him up, I mean, that night you could see he wasn't there. He's walking down, his face said it all, he wasn't prepared, he just didn't want to be there. But once he got back the belt, he should have had one more fight and then retire. To me, that's when his time was done. He could have retired at the top and they would have said, yeah, AJ was one of the greats or something like that. But he's been put on his arse that many times now. And it's not like he's been put down convincingly. It's not like, say, he's been in a battle.
He's not been
in a battle and lost the fight. He's been put down
convincingly.
Yeah,
it's true. I mean, him get dropped.
Look
like,
how the ball handling, man.
Yeah, you know?
Look. I sat there in the armchair in shock. I couldn't believe what was seeing a man just slide down from floor, get up, lie down from floor again. It was just, no, that's not. And this is what he's going to, that fight, definitely, he's going to be remembered for.
Yeah, it's true. Definitely. Definitely. Well, yeah, he's got a lot to prove and a lot to lose, you know. But I still think he's got a couple of fights left in him, maybe, depending on what he does. But his opponents, whoever he fights next, he's got to do the business, hasn't he?
Of course he has.
Because if it is Dubois, he's got to beat him, which I don't think it's possible now. Do you know what I mean? I think Dubois he's just different. You know what I mean? He's just kind of like, and he's grown so... kind of much, you know,
learned.
His presence.
He's learned everything about him,
he's kind of brushed up some things. And
obviously he's a strong guy, a strong punch, you know what I mean? So
100%, yeah, definitely.
I mean, do you think the rematch will happen?
Yeah, I think he's definitely on. Dubois says, yeah, he'll take it any day. You know what I mean? But why wouldn't he?
Yeah,
when you're fisting up a man like that,
yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to take that fight again? But yeah,
he might as well have done and get it out of the way.
AJ needs to turn up big time.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
He does.
Big time. He can't be touching. He can't be kissing canvas. You know what I mean.
Like done with canvas.
You know,
yeah.
Definitely. He needs to be showing up, man. You know. Monday the 28th in Paris. We've got the Ballon d'Or. It used to be called the European Footballer of the Year Award, also voted by football's top journalists until 2006, originated, I should say, in France. from the football magazine in 1956. The first winner was Stanley Matthews, believe it or not. In fact, I'm going to bust into a little story about Stanley Matthews. People would give me a little clip around the ear hole because they'd say, you should be saying sir, you know what I mean?
Oh, it's a sir now.
Yeah, well, it was a sir. I suppose, yeah, you could say Sir Stanley Matthews, yeah. And it was when he played for Blackpool. I know that he played for Stoke. Before people start jumping up and down, say, yeah, you got that wrong with Blackpool and Stoke. I've mentioned it, so there. He was the first footballer to have that award. And also, the Ballon d'Or was merged with FIFA World Player of the Year Award to create the FIFA Ballon d'Or. 2018, France introduced Ballon d'Or for the female. You know, they came into line. So they've got their awards now. The goalkeepers have got their awards. The young player have also got their awards. So a lot have changed. And then the latest rule change of the Ballon d'Or, it's based on a footballing season, not a footballing year. So that was another kind of like tweak, what they did. Now, if we're kind of like talking about nominees, obviously you've got some big names in there. You've got like Bellingham, England and Madrid. You've got Nicole Williams, bad player. Also, you've got Hummels. Is in there, Rodri, and our CV would be like kind of, you know, like licking his lips, like,
yeah,
I can just see him now. Acknowledgement,
deserve it,
yeah, you know what I mean. Harry Kane, I'm not so sure about Harry. He's done it for his club, Bayern Munich, but he hasn't done it for England. But you know, he is a nominee. Now this is an interesting one. Yamal. I think his turn will come. I don't think it's kind of like now, but his turn will definitely come. Bayaka Saka is also a nominee in there. Serious contender, I probably would say Bellingham, serious contender.
Yeah, I'd vote for Bellingham.
Yeah. And also Vinicius Jr., the Brazil and Real Madrid player. So I'd probably give it to Jr., plays for Real Madrid. I'd probably give it to him. And Bellingham coming maybe a close second. I mean, what might kind of let Bellingham down is that England performances, really. And they say it's decided in kind of like three kind of like categories, really. Individual performances, stroke kind of characteristics and stuff, team performances and achievements, and class and fair player. We've also got Declan Rice up there as well, but I wouldn't have thought, you know, people might say, nah, I disagree with you, mate, because I wouldn't have thought Declan Rice is one of them flair players. Fair player. Class, I would say, flair. You know what I mean? So I'd probably use flair instead of class, but I'm not the one who decides that.
No, that's, you know, it. What I mean? So we always see things differently to all them, see, isn't it, really?
100%.
I mean, for me, I thought Bellingham played well for England in the last championship, what was going on. I thought he did well. I thought he was a good team player as well. He's not a selfish guy when it comes to either shooting, passing the ball. He'll pass the ball, he'll get in there and get involved. Yeah, I wouldn't mind if Bellingham got it.
I thought they stretched him too much. I thought they kind of like...
they did put on him a lot.
Lean on him too much, you know, give him too much kind of responsibilities for a young youth.
But he seemed up for it, though.
And I think that the senior players should have kind of like took
carried
that
him,
bit,
yeah,
between the mouth and dealt with it. So, you know, And then that also kind of would add to extra pressure, innit, for a young kid like that.
It is.
You know, to have all that kind of responsibility when you've got the guys like Kane at your side of you and stuff. Do you know what I mean?
For me, like I've said before, I think Kane's time done for me. It's
yeah,
me now.
I know you said it from time.
But I don't think now, and I'm not being disrespectful for him. Mm. He's done a lot for the country and he's done a lot for his team, for the Brentford Spurs and that. But in burnout, no, man, when it comes to international thing now, I don't know if his art is still into it, really. Because, like they were saying, we're going too deep and stuff like that. But if they're struggling in the midfield, he's going to go back. But I just think now, to the young players we've got in there, I think we have enough now that they can play without him.
So do you think this kind of like, you know, do you think Tuchel, the German manager of England, do you think he will kind of like, will be leaning towards Kane?
I don't think so. I think this guy's going to come in and he's got to see and he's got to have a new vision, hasn't he? He's going to come, I think he might even mix up the team a little bit, whatever. I mean, they need something, England, to shake them up so they can go a little further. I mean, I know they've been into the semi-finals and things, whatever, but it just don't seem to have to finish now when they play. I mean, look at the last one. They were struggling to win each game, even though they did enough to get through, but they still haven't got the killer instincts to finish the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the kind of like way to play for me. You know what I mean? It's dictated and stuff and predicted and that. And you know what? I'll be the one of the first to say England have got players to hurt the best out there in the world.
We've got some good players.
You know what I mean? They've got... Yeah, some of the best. I mean, you know, most of them are playing in the Premiership in the top league and stuff. So they're up there as individual players, but I suppose it's kind of like galvanizing as one in a team, you know, and you know they've got to find a way to make that work. I mean, whether. Yeah, this should be getting there into the World Cup. I can't see any reason why they're not gonna make the,
no, they're gonna qualify,
the grade. Yeah. And maybe, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they got to the quarters or something. You know, they might have a few little hiccups, a little kind of like humpback bridges to get over. You know what I mean? But, you know, I can see them being there. And do you know what? If they get there, well, you know what German's going to say, innit? They're going to say, yeah, take a German fit, bring your cup warm to you.
They're not going
to
live it down.
You know what I mean?
They're not going to... Let's for argument scenario, let's just put that up out there now. If this guy come in and he managed to change up the team to get them to play a certain way, they actually did win. Yeah, we're all going to be happy. There's going to be a lots of this, but you're not going to live it down. A German manager coming to the English team, public enemy number one, and took them to the final and got them to win.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You just can't make that up, can you?
True. Definitely.
I'd love to see that. I could to see what they would say there, because you ain't going to live that down. A German manager coming to bring up the England team. Oh, great.
True. Definitely. Yeah, so we've got, Mancini's kind of like left his kind of like role in Saudi Arabia. I think he's been there about 14 months. Came under fire. Mancini was saying that there were three players that kind of like were trying to pick the games that there was playing in it. These three players have obviously denied that. So that caused a bit of a rumpus behind the scenes. And there was a game where they lost from a penalty shootout, and Mancini, he was kind of like halfway down the tunnel and the opposition team was still taking the penalty. But this is what Mancini had to say after that. He said that he didn't realise. He said that he thought the game was over. So
poor excuse.
Exactly, but again, it's like, you know, when there's like animosity in the camp, you know, the three players are saying, that's not true. We ain't going to pick our games that we play. Mancini to say it's true. So he must have been thinking, do you know what? Two fingers in the air, see you later, I've gone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Obviously he's got paid out. He's got paid out for that. But I just think it, yeah.
There was politics going on in there now, and it looks like these three players have got some clout in it.
Yeah, it's kind of like sad as well, isn't it, really? You know what I mean? So, they reached a joint agreement with a Saudi team for his contract as national team manager. Mancini, 59, enjoyed a very difficult start in Saudi as manager. And took that role after he left Italy head coach weeks earlier. Like I said, on the eve of that, the Saudi people, he was involved in the Asian Cup in January. And like I said, the three players, he dropped them because allegedly they wanted to pick and choose. Well, Mancini said, you know, well, you can't really... You can't really do that in any team, not even under 10s. But it probably does happen because some of them kind of like players, I've got a voice. They can get the manager to sack. You know what I mean? There's little pockets. You know what I mean? And you know, if they've got a big say in that side, they can get you sacked, they can get you out of a job. You know what I mean? Anyway.
That's the problem these days, isn't it? Too many people. I mean, back in the days, the manager ruled things and that was it. Everybody, the players had to do what they were told. The politics sides kept out of it. But now I think there's too many voices within what's going off that can cause these problems. I mean, what football players, the managers, and saying, we don't want to play this game, we don't want to do that, or you should do this. No, they shouldn't be saying anything, really.
It's true.
What the manager's fault, but it's all about money, innit? This is when the things, when money's got involved in it, then these are the things that happen.
That's it.
I don't blame him for walking away. I don't. I would have done the same thing.
But during the game, I mean, it was against South Korea. They said it was the final penalty shootout that eliminated the Saudis. And Mancini said that he just apologised for leaving early. I thought it had finished. Simple as.
Yeah, he could see what was going on. I thought, I'm not standing here watching this foolishness.
You know what I mean?
Gone.
Yeah. So...
So they've paid him off now and he's just looking for another team now to manage.
Yeah, 100%.
He'll find someone. Somebody will grab him on.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so he's gone. Chris Hoy. Have you heard about Chris Hoy's terminal diagnosis?
No.
You know, so...
What's being diagnosed?
Chris Hoy said that he was blown away by men seeking cancer advice, a six-time Olympic champion, 48, said at the weekend, doctors informed him he's got between 2 to 4 years to live.
Oh.
Prostate cancer he's got.
Prostate cancer.
48 hours after he had confirmed the news, NHS England said there were 14,478 visits to their advice website compared to 1,876 previous week. That's 672% rise. Which, yeah, that's wicked news, that.
It is, in a sense. Although it's a bad thing, it is good news that men are taking this more serious now.
But you know, like, I mean, for me though, right, I know it's, you wouldn't wish that upon...
No, sir.
Upon anybody.
Anybody.
Yeah. So, yeah, Chris Hoy, big name. Yeah, like we say, six-time Olympic champion. But you know something? How many years a black man going through that thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna dip into this, yeah, because I do feel quite strongly about it. Yeah. I mean, they say like, Black men, 2 in 3 times more likely
to get
prostate cancer than white men. Yeah, 1 in 4 black men will develop prostate cancer in their lifetime compared to 1 in 8 men overall. I mean, they're damaging statistics, yeah. And the reason for the increased risk of prostate cancer in black men, hear this now.
Go on.
They say it's unknown.
Oh, okay.
Unknown, really? I mean, how many years now NHS England, yeah, are going to be keeping up with them same kind of lyrics, right? So they're saying that they don't know why, black men at high risk of prostate cancer. Well, let me tell you something. I mean, I'm no gynecologist, yeah, but a small percentage is genetic makeup, and I'm saying that's a small percentage. Now, black men have got a high testosterone levels, right? People will say, nah, that's conflicting evidence. Well, you know, it's important questions unanswered, but this is what I'm saying. So let me just rewind that a little bit. Genetics, a small percentage for that. I'm saying that black males have got a high testosterone level. Dietary factors also will play a part in that. Also, racial bias as well. And I'm talking about, in professionals and also people in general. Hypertension, which is, you're going into blood pressure,
yeah,
with the increased,
yeah,
risk of
that's
prostate,
right,
cancer.
Right.
Yeah. And black people have a particular gene which makes them more sensitive to salt, hence increasing blood pressure. And there's one variant, which is angiotensin. Converting that enzyme into ACE, that gene can influence black people's susceptibility to salt, meaning salt sensitivity equals disease equals,
yeah,
prostate cancer.
Say,
yeah. I mean, I'm going to go back to that statement where they're saying that they don't know. I mean, I've just gone through a couple of facts, but hear this now, they know how long a person has passed away through forensic evidence, which was first recorded back in 1325, yeah? The first scheduled flight to Florida was 1914, right? Mumps vaccinated was the quickest to roll out in 1967, yeah? Then put Armstrong on the moon, yeah?
Well,
in 1969, right? And then scientists have known black men are more likely to develop prostate cancer since 1977.
And they don't know what's causing it.
And they hell no. Yeah, that's
right,
what they must say.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So from 1977, they
now
still don't know. But yet, when it was the COVID jab.
Yeah, yeah, look how quick that's out.
When they're saying that a vaccine normally takes 10 to 15 years to make up. But then roll it all quick time.
Yeah.
But yet black men are suffer from 1977.
And they don't know what's causing it.
And they don't know what the hell know what's
causing
that.
But even that, the amount of spices we have with salt in it, how is it only us that are feeling that are feeling the pressure there? How is it only us that they're saying we have a higher level for dying in that respect because of whatever it is? So salt plays a thing, but you're talking spices here now.
Yes, salt plays a massive kind of role because, I mean, I've had this conversation with CV before, about we've got a gene, or apparently supposed to got a gene, which is sensitive to salt.
So they must know which gene it is.
Yeah,
and if you know which gene it is, surely you can deal with something to deal with that gene.
Well, there you go. They should be able to stabilise that
gene, yeah.
Yeah, but they don't business about.
Of course,
it's
got to be something, isn't it? Really.
You know what I mean? Since 1977, come on. I mean, like I said, put Mampan Moon, put Rocket in that ear and...
They've done also. This is what I said, like when it comes to cancer. You're telling us you don't know how to cure... any cancer, really, that we have to keep going through all these things like radiation and all.
Well, they're making money from it.
Big money from
it. It's big bucks. It's big bucks.
We're talking dollars there. Why are you going to... That's your biggest money earner, ain't it?
Yeah, yeah, definitely, 100%.
No, I don't believe they don't know what's causing this.
So, just had to kind of like let off and get that off what I mean? But yeah, it's kind of statistics... and they're not made up. That date, 1977, it ain't just made up, they've been doing stats from morning, some of them stats what I read out there from morning, and I'm grateful for,
still don't know,
I'm grateful for our NHS service, but there's some things which I'm ungrateful for,
And
we've lost some brothers. We've lost some brothers along the way, And maybe that could have been prevented if they'd have pulled out the thumb,
But so, like you said, innit, it's just our opinion. What we're saying, we don't know. But 40 odd years and you can't sort out that something, all right?
Out harder.
As them would say, them two out of order.
But yeah, something needs to change. I mean, what would it take? Yeah, would it take if Chris I was black? Would that would people look at it different?
Good question. Would
you
they?
Know what I mean?
Would they?
Would they have looked at it different? Or Chris I, 6-time Olympia, would they have bigged it up like that? Or would it been, it's just another kind of sad, sad
look
day.
Look at the effects he's had. It's been announced he's got this, whatever he's got, and he's been given time to live. And look how much percentage he's jumped up by that man's going on the NHS.
100%. Site. 14,708 visits to their advice site compared to, 1,876 in the previous week. A rise of 772% rise.
It's wicked news. That Sir Chris Hoy's got it, so that means I can get it too.
Well,
some people must be looking at it, innit? If he can get it, and he's supposed to be fit as this, whatever else, I'm 6-time world champion, all that, and he's got it, I best go and get myself sorted.
Well, them say, it's a yearly thing, check it out, But,
it's a check yourself, I mean, check yourself out, and if you feel something wrong, go and see a doctor, or go to the site, Don't sit down there worrying about it, what you should do. There's help out there, go and get the help, man.
Blasted
the wall away.
I mean, we also mentioned about the bias, kind of like, the bias views. I mean, I remember once when I was chatting to Bushman, and I fling down your soul. Bucks.
I get digi on your man, that's all. And I kick out everything down.
Like I said, I mean, I can remember when I went to my GP and I said, listen, I want to get checked out and stuff, with the prostate cancer and stuff. And, the first things that they said, I've been problems down there. I said, no, everything's fine. But I just wanted... And he said, well, if everything's fine, don't worry about it. And I had that conversation with Bushman. He said, no, man, go back and tell him, say you want to get checked out. So, I did go back.
I'm surprised you said that.
Well, they're your bias, what comes into it. Is everything all right? Yeah, everything's fine. Well, see you later then. What are you doing here?
But they're telling you to come and check yourself out. So,
yeah.
Make your mind up.
So, if there's anybody out there and, you need to be getting checked out and stuff,
Even if it's just for peace of mind.
Yeah,
100%. Don't get yourself checked out.
And don't let them tell you, say, if everything's all right, don't worry about it. Insist.
Yeah, sit on the same place, cross your tennis. Mum would say, that's your legs, cross your legs. I said, no, sir. Yeah. We're doing a test.
Definitely. It's very, very sad news about Chris Hoy, terminal diagnosis. And them say, it's a bad come good. Even if there's one bread out there, what says, do you know what, we're listening to that show on the right, I'm going to get checked out, then we've done our little bit, But everybody needs to do their bit too.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about. I know we get embarrassed about certain things. I can't go to doctors for that. No. See, go and get yourself checked, man. Go and get yourself checked.
And that's another part of that bias, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, boy, I'm not going to let nobody,
you know, touch me and this. Yeah, whatever. All that kind of stuff. Man come near me and let him go do this. No, that's the wrong thing.
Yeah, your health is a serious thing, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to look after yourself.
Look after yourself.
And
look
inform
after
your
family,
brothers.
Yeah,
inform your brothers, man. Go see your GP and get your name on that list. Well, from one list to another list. Last week we spoke about the speed of Tuchel being put in place. And, I came out with my kind of diagnosis and stuff. And I know G kind of said to CV, hey, you know, I said nothing, man. You just, I picked up on that. But I didn't want to kind of like gloat. You know what I mean? Yeah. I didn't want to put fudge down there and fudge it up a little bit more. But,
it is what it is between them, man. We said these things, we talk and we joke about it.
You know what I mean?
I just saw it go. We've always been like that.
True.
You know what I mean? Nobody now take offense to it. You can't take offense wrong with you, man. Sure.
And Xavi, former Boca, which is Barcelona boss, as they line up the Spaniard to take control maybe of Old Trafford. I think that's most likely. I mean, you know, currently lying 12th in the table. I mean, we're not really used to seeing Man United so low down there. And I think it's just a matter of time before they send him on gardening duty and they might have to pay him out. You right? So, that's...
Last time in the season, they have been kind of out of it, aren't they, Man United?
For a while now.
For a while now, isn't it?
For a while. Yeah. And, I mean, I understand that behind the scenes, the hierarchy of Old Trafford are chatting to Xavi. And, it's Tim Hag. You know, I reckon he's gone before Christmas easy anyway. Because Man United ain't gonna put up with this much longer. It could even be his last game against West Ham this weekend, because if they lose that game and teams above them win, they could slip maybe 14th, maybe 15th, depending on how many teams pick up points.
That's unheard of,
below Man United, yeah. And then you've got Van Nistelrooy there. He'll keep the seat hot for Xavi before he takes control. And also, the former Barcelona boss, he's come out with a quote. He's saying that he doesn't want to coach in Spain anymore.
Oh.
And he hasn't got a job.
Ah.
So that would probably like...
Today,
yeah,
then,
that probably makes sense. Hence, kind of like, I think, you know, I know that I said it and I'm going to say it again. You know what I mean? That's why England was kind of so hasty to get Tuchel in charge, because they're thinking if he goes, Man United are going to come back in for him again. And like I said last week, they won't want to be seen with egg on their cheek born.
That's what you're saying, yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So they've kind of knee-jerk reaction. They've thought, you know what? We need to fast-track this appointment. And we need to put somebody in place now, not tomorrow, now. Give him a call and put him as boss. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what happened. But to what we was talking about, I know Ceci, we don't want to hear this, but...
hey, you better listen up.
They could have held on, couldn't they?
I think so.
They could have held on for a little longer to see where Pep did.
Yeah, I don't think it would have hurt him, to be honest with you, because they was never going to pay Pep off. I don't think they was going to ever pay any current manager in a role off. It was always probably a case of, do you know what? When contracts are done, who hasn't got a job? Let's look at the best candidate from that. And they have got, you know, one of the best. But the best one for me and probably the whole nation would have been Pepsi Cola.
I
you know what I
everybody
mean?
Everybody would have had a good faith in him to say, yeah, let's try Pepsi to see where I go on.
100%, you know what I mean? 100%.
And, and to me, it was worth the gamble to just hang on in there. But they make up their mind, said, I'm going to buy this man, and that's it. So, end of story. and that Solomon grunt, as my mother would have said.
You know, I mean, he's a massive target for Man United. You know what I mean? And like I said, to get a manager like that who was currently out of a post, you know what I mean, would be good. I mean,
it's a win-win, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, they've obviously denied it. They've said, you know, well, we're over there for another sporting event, and that's where our talks happen. But it just happened to be where, you know, where the ex-Barcelona boss is as well. So, you know, is it a coincidence? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
You know what I mean?
And he's put it out there, and he says, I don't want to do this anymore.
It's like saying to them, yeah, come and get me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It is.
And get me. This is where I am. You know, and they're kind of like probably negotiating the finer
points of things,
in the contract and stuff like that. And once that's signed, Ten Hag's like, see you later. I mean, he can't throw the towel in because he'd miss out on a load of cash.
Of course.
And you don't get managers walking away from jobs now. How they dress that up, it's a mutual agreement.
That's right.
Basically, it's just a sack. You know what I mean? Yeah. But the mutual agreement is an uptown word, and it just seems kind of pleasant. It's a nice kind of pleasant way to end a manager's kind of dismal run, and it is a dismal run, isn't it? You know, from Man United, 12th in the league.
I know. Christ. 12th. I mean, come on. They've never been down them sides, then into them neck of the woods.
You know, I mean,
donkeys use them, yeah, them kind of thing.
I am actually surprised the dude is still there. Do you know what I mean? And I think Van Nistelrooy will get a taste of managing the Premiership before he'll come in. But yeah, I'd go as far as to say that, yeah, this is his probably last game against West Ham.
Well, like you said, if they lose against West Ham now, then there's no point keeping him anymore, really. Mm. I mean, that's just proving everything again, isn't it?
Yeah, that's not
putting down West Ham on it. I know West Ham's a good team still, but management is a hard job.
It's true. I mean, it's a hard job.
All
Ten Hag's saying is that, you know, got to stay patient and, you know, it's just...
And you got that rapport with the players, why things aren't happening.
100%. I mean, you know, I mean, West Ham, they're 15th. So they'll be looking to collect maximum points on that one. They've won 3 out of the last eight games and allegedly made contact twice in the few months for Xavi. You know what I mean? But yeah, Van Nistelrooy. I'm going to be the first to say welcome to management in the Premiership. And you've heard it first on Sweet Talking Sport.
I hope it does pretty good,
you know
actually.
What I mean?
I mean, Van Nistelrooy, I do wish him well in that. I hope it does pretty good.
He's a good striker, weren't he?
Yeah,
Van
Nistelrooy was solid back in the days.
He had a good engine.
Yeah.
And he certainly knew where the net was as well, you know?
Without a doubt.
But not all. Great players obviously make management.
Good managers, that's right.
And I think that is, you know, down to personality and stuff. Obviously, knowledge and how they kind of come across, because some managers would like to put an arm around players and stuff, and some don't need that. You know what I mean?
Although it could be a hard job for him still, to what you just said there, because the position he had, it would have been more friendly with the players and stuff, isn't it? Whatever. So he would have been bantering more with the players as well as doing whatever. So to go from that position to a management now, he's got to draw a line again, hasn't he?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. All right, we'll go into a couple of these got a couple of games to talk about in the Premiership, and a couple of games also in the Championship to talk about too. So Man City, they're playing Southampton tomorrow. Man City lying second in the table against Southampton, who were struggling to put the ball in the back of the net. You know what I mean? City, they'll be buzzing from that midweek demolish of Sparta Prague, 5-0. And
it's them worried about Man U when you say go demolish. No, he's going to jump all over and say, "Yeah, right." It's like a shout it all team load.
Just to talk about football still. I mean, yeah, they did demolish. And I think any team what's busting a 5-0 score, do you know what I mean?
It's just a
stroll in the park. Yeah. You know what I mean? Man City against Southampton in the Premiership tomorrow. They've got to take full advantage of this, and you can't see this result going any other way. But I think with Southampton, it's just getting bodies behind the ball, and if they can frustrate City for a period of time, Southampton will be hoping that it's to reduce that deficit. They'll be looking for a 0-0 or a 1-0 going in at half-time. And then maybe, again, if things aren't going City's way, if they've got their fans on the back, that's what Southampton will be hoping for. And then they'll kind of just open things up in the last 20. So it's like damage limitation for Southampton. I think Ramsdale's going to have a very, very busy day in the office in that Southampton goal. He hasn't really, really had the best people in front of him. I mean, they're 19th in the table. Do you think he's made the right move from Arsenal to Southampton? Southampton, second to the bottom of the league.
Well, from a career point of view, obviously, no. But you don't know these things until you try, dear. I mean, he wanted to go there. He's gone there now. So if he's doing his job, that's the main thing. If he's doing his job, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
if the defence ain't doing what they're supposed to do or whatever else, then that's down to them. But if the man's gone and the man's doing it, although he's going to be a bit vexed about that, isn't it? That he's there diving all over the place, stopping ball, but the defence now stop them before they get to him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, without a good defence, there's nothing. I mean, goalie can do what he's got to do, but...
I listened to the Southampton manager having a little bit of a chat on one of the channels the other day. And he was saying that, it's just a matter of time. Things should be able to click. He's confident that they can sort of like draw away. But again, he has to be confident in himself, in his own ability, to be able to kind of like dilute that to the players. But I think it was always on the cards for any team kind of going up that they're going to struggle. And again, it's another conversation I had with CV about, it seems that these days I've gone where clubs coming up from the Championship to the Premiership are splashing out 70, 80, 90 odd million quid and kind of like sprucing up their squad. It doesn't seem to be the in thing now. It's like, they're going to spruce up the squad, all right, but some of that cash has gone into ground improvements, probably into the academy, because they're tomorrow's players, to try to improve them. So standards have to improve if you're going to get the best out of the players also as well. But yeah, it just seems to be, the three coming up are favourites to go down.
I get that,
And it's like,
but it's all about, like you just said, money, ain't it?
Money
is everything. Back in the days, if you're playing, spending money on the players and and you're winning games, but you're not taking care of the clubs, the dressing room and all those other things, sooner or later it's going to come where you have to spend money on that, or young players ain't going to want to come and play in that club, are they?
Well, I think, they'll get the Premiership wages and stuff. There'll be probably clauses that, relegation, a certain percentage will get dropped down and stuff like that. But, I think it's just the modern day system of clubs coming up from the Championship to spend a little bit of cash, but
they're
getting about 100. Well, the team's coming down and getting about 160 mil. Do you know what I mean? So they have got that, but it's like, you know, there's always going to be a tomorrow, isn't there, for football teams. So it's about developing players and also looking at a few gems and stuff and trying to put them in your side.
That's right.
1854, there's just me and G here. CV's seat is currently vacant, you know, like the WBCDB title. Arsenal are playing Liverpool on Sunday.
Should be a good game.
Yeah, it should be an interesting game, this one. Liverpool haven't failed to score in the last 17 games against Arsenal. And Arsenal also was in the thick of things during last week. They play Shakhtar. 1-0 victory. Need to get that right. Arsenal and Liverpool. I think, for me, this has got a draw written all over it.
I was thinking 2-2 on that one. I know that's a big thing, but I think it's going to be a draw.
Yeah. I mean, Arsenal are kind of like firing on all cylinders. They've failed to take it by the scruff of the neck. They've had opportunities, to be right up there. I mean, you know, some Arsenal fans listen to my thing. Well, we're still up there, third place.
I
get that. But, you know, I just think it's just got a draw written all over it. Neither side will want to lose that fixture. I'm telling you about that for now. Sheffield United coming off back of two defeats. Leeds United got dealt with, outplayed, outclassed, outthought, outmuscled for me. And that just showed how far away United were off it. No excuses. They got cream crackered, battered against Leeds United.
They got some Jacobs in them skin, yeah.
And I watched the game against Borough as well. And I thought there was times where they could have exposed Borough, they could have opened them up. But it was just failing that lack of quality in the final third, what just let them down. And a bit disappointed in Kiefer Moore. He just needs to do a little bit more for me, a lot more. Yeah, he's a big, strong guy, well experienced. He
should be at the forefront, shouldn't he?
I'm not saying he should be carrying them kind of like his teammates in the final third, because he does a lot of stuff what the average supporters don't really see, and I get that. But he's got another chance against Stoke City on Saturday. I'll be at that game. Blades fifth, so they're still in it. Stoke City 17th. A player to watch from Stoke City is Tom Cannon. United wanted him. He's on loan from Leicester City. And I believe he'll be a player that United probably may go for in January, the January sale. So that's Tom Cannon. It'd be interesting to see how the Sheffield United fans take to him, whether they boo him off the park or whatever. But, you know, at the end of the game, let's see if his name's on that score sheet. Tom Cannon, listen out for that one, folks. Sheffield United have to respond. It's nothing but a win for me. There's going to be goals in this game, and it will open up also as well. It's got to be 3 points. Not looking anywhere else for that one.
Is this a home game?
It's a home game at the Lane tomorrow, 3 p.m. kickoff.
So advantage United then.
Should be.
Yeah, come on, boys.
It should be.
Let's get this done. Send them back home, you know? Send them back home.
See it there. Portsmouth, bottom of the league, 24th against Wednesday. Now, down there it's going to be a bit hostile for the Owls fans. I don't think they're going to be feeling too comfortable down there. It's going to be difficult. But they've only won one game. Scored sorry, conceded 23 also down there. So that they are, they've got a leaky defence. Wednesday also got a leaky defence as well. So again, this could open up to a 2-2 or 3-2 or 3-2.
They sound pretty even, don't they?
Yeah, because both teams will obviously fancy their chances, you know what I mean? But if you're listening, Captain Mo, you know, like I said, I think Portsmouth is going to be too hostile for Sheffield Wednesday. Failing this one, I think I'm probably going to go for a draw with this one, with plenty goals galore.
Yeah? Oh, I don't know with this one. I think so.